Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is Dr. Dave Fisher, University Provost. The title of his message is A Tale of Two Schools. The text is from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
You look tired. Why? Have you been studying? How many have a test today? How many have a quiz today? How many are not here today? Well, hang in there. But let's now focus our attention on the things of the Word of God. If you would, turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Book of Daniel, chapter 1. And I know in your tiredness right now, you would like to probably use this as a respite from the time in class. But let's make sure that our attention is focused on what God would have for us this morning. I want to read the first three verses of Daniel chapter 1 and draw attention to some applications to us today. Beginning in the first verse, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes. We'll stop there. And I'd like you to just focus on a little phrase there, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. Let me ask you today, what if the United States were invaded? And the conquering army took certain of the children of God away, and you were among that certain of the children. What would your life be like? What would be the proof of your Christian education? What I'm after there is more than what you're attending now at Bob Jones Academy or Bob Jones University. But the proof of your Christian education, your study in the Word of God, your growth in the Word of God through your church, through your home, through this school, what would be the proof that would validate that that has taken hold in your life? One of the concerns that I have, and if you can stereotype a generation, and that's hard to do, how do you say this is true of everybody? And you know, in making that statement, it's hard to make a reliable generalization. But one of the things we see here as we work with young people, that often today young people have a knowledge of the truth. They have a knowledge of what they believe, but it doesn't grasp so much of their life that it impacts the decisions that govern their daily life. I think they're sincere in saying, this is what I believe. But the application of how it governs their behavior or how it governs their daily life, there's a disconnect there. Often you read in the Old Testament how concerned that Moses was when he was giving the law, that he told the parents, constantly talk about the things of God's word. Why? So that they may know them and that they may observe them, that they may do them. And how often we see young people, Christian young people, that can repeat the creed, that know the right things. But when it comes to a time of testing in their life, there's a lack of making an application. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, to count our days, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That application is vitally important. And I'd like us today to just dwell on this phrase, and certain of the children of Israel, and do a comparison. We're going to study today, in a sense, a tale of two schools. If you're looking at English, you may know a tale of two cities. But let's look at a tale of two schools. And I would like us to focus on these children of Israel that you will know are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were some of those involved in those certain of the children of Israel that were carried away. And literally, they were enrolled in two schools. Way back in the 1960s, I heard a Bible conference speaker make a statement when he was talking about Daniel, that Daniel was enrolled in BJU. I didn't know that we were that old. We're getting ready to celebrate the 80th anniversary of this school. But I'll ask the Bible scholars back there how many years it's been since Daniel, the time of Daniel. But that would put us a pretty old school if Daniel went to BJU or BJA. And when I heard him say that, I said, "Oh, come on. How do you?" And he said, "Didn't you know Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went to BJA and BJU, the best Jewish academy and the best Jewish university." And that's where they went. But all of a sudden, they got transferred to a different school. And that's the RCA, or the RCU, the Royal Chaldean Academy, or the Royal Chaldean University. It wasn't by their choice, but as we read in this description, all of a sudden the armies came and they said, "Hey, you're going to go to a different school." On the comparison I want us to make in our lives, yes, you're enrolled right now in school. But you're also enrolled in the school of life. And what lessons you're learning in this Christian school, are they going to stand you in good stead in the school of life? And in the school of life in this world, it's going to be similar to that Royal Chaldean University, in that it's going to be opposed to the teaching that they received at the BJA or the BJU, the best Jewish university. The Royal Chaldean Academy and University wanted to take them a different direction. Let's look at the attacks that came on their Christian education. We find, first of all, in verse 4, it says at the end of that verse, "whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans." When they enrolled in RCA or RCU, the methodology there was to teach them the tongue and the learning of the Chaldeans. Here we see an attack on their beliefs. This was the indoctrination. And so we find that all about us in our daily life, there's going to be constant attack on our beliefs. How are you going to withstand that? Are you going to cave in? Are you going to say it doesn't matter? Or can we say, "I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded"? See, the problem is that many of us have just embraced the faith of our school, or the faith of our parents, or the faith of our church. And we give consent to that, but we have not sealed it in our heart. And if we're half-hearted in our embrace of that, and we just passively accept this school or our parents or our church, and we are not rooted in our beliefs, then the attack when it comes, the attack on our faith, is going to cause us to embrace the tongue and the learning of the world's school. Not only was there attack on their beliefs, but there was an attack on their testimony. And this was really centered at their identity. Look in verse 7. And it says, "unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and of Azariah Abednego." Now, if you study these names, basically all the Hebrew names were names that pointed to standing before Jehovah, and they replaced those names with names that were named after the pagan gods of the Chaldeans. And here it was that there was attack on their identity. They wanted to change their identification from Jehovah to the pagan gods. And so it's going to be in the school of life, in the things of this world, as we interact in this world. Satan's going to do all he can to attack our testimony, to change our identification from being associated with the cause of Christ and the people of Christ, and the name that we are Christians to a name that just goes along with the world, so that in a sense we can fit in with the crowd, that we can lose our influence. There was also an attack on their appetite. This was dealt with the indulgence, and we find this in verse 5. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end that they might stand before the king. He wanted to change their nourishment. Wanted to change their appetite. And here the example is the king's meat and the king's drink. And by the way, that was pretty good stuff. That was pretty good stuff. And there are things in this world that may be pretty good stuff, but we can overindulge in things of this world that can change our focus off of what we ought to be pursuing in the will of God. There is the possibility, as we look into this, that the king's meat was defilement in the relationship to the Jewish laws and what they had been trained they should not eat as children of God. And we know that on the smorgasbord that this world has to offer each of us, that there's much of that plate that may be good, and there's much in the world that we live in this Royal Chaldean University, so to speak, that we cannot eat as Christians because it is defilement. It is that which is opposed to the teaching of God's word. They tried to change their appetite. And there was also attack on their worship. We find in chapter 3, the building of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted everybody to bow down before that. And they expected and they demanded, even the children of Israel, to worship. And so the world expects us today just to fall into the mindset that we can embrace all the different ways to heaven and don't be so intolerant. Just go with everybody else and saying, well, you can get by to heaven if you're following this religious system or that church. Doesn't matter if they name the name of Christ. Doesn't matter if the Bible says there's one way to heaven. And we just sort of fit into that crowd. Young people, the things of this world, the school system, so to speak, of life of this world is directly opposed to the Christian foundation that you're being taught at home, at church, and through this school. So the question is, how are you going to survive? Oh, you can survive by caving in. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us clearly here, but I'm sure there were some of this number, certain of the children of Israel that were brought into this new school that probably catered to the attacks on their Jewish education. And they probably caved in. And unfortunately, we know and get reports all the time of students, of children who know what is right, but they don't apply their heart unto wisdom. A tale of two schools. You all are enrolled in a Christian academy or a Christian university. You all, by your mere presence in this world, are involved in that school of life. That is, the things of this world are opposed to that Christian education. The question is, are you going to take a stand for Christ? We sing that song, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And we find in verse 8 of chapter 1, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Notice it didn't say Daniel's parents. It didn't say Daniel's teacher. It didn't say Daniel's pastor. It said, young Daniel, probably at this time is a teenager, maybe a 14-year-old, maybe a 15-year-old, maybe a little older, but basically would fit into the mold of most of you in this room. And it says, Daniel purposed, resolved in his heart. And he made some decisions that he said, hey, I want to give full proof of my service and love for my God. Even though he had transferred to a different school, had a different name put on him, had a different circumstances, this did not change the resolve and the character of Daniel. He walked with what we would call the word integrity. And that is a word that I think each of us need today, and an emphasis that this generation, your generation, needs. Integrity is wholeness. It's the application of our beliefs to every aspect of our life, not to compartmentalize. It would have been easy for Daniel to say, hey, my circumstances have changed. I can do this. Nobody else is around. I can do this. I'm a foreigner. I can do this. But do our convictions and do our beliefs follow us, and are they applied to every aspect of our life? Daniel taught us that lesson. And I'd like us just quickly to look at the marks of excellence of Daniel and say that these marks of excellence and integrity should be part of our life. And in a sense, I'd like to give you five A's to excellence. Five A's to excellence. In the elementary years, you get, instead of ABCDs, you get excellence or goods, or excellence is a means of grading. And of course, right now, you all are shooting for A's in your grades and your classes. But I'd like to share with you five A's that were keys to Daniel's purpose, Daniel's resolve, and those who followed him. First of all, he was excellent in his associations. His associations. Look, if you would, at verse 4 of chapter 1. These children who were brought out of the land of Israel and taken to Babylon. It says, children in whom there was no blemish. Now, this no blemish is talking about physical defects, but also can imply moral defects. Here we're saying that children in whom there was no physical or moral stains. To use a New Testament phrase, they kept themselves unspotted from the world. Young people, the Royal Chaldean School, the school of life, is a school that delights in throwing mud at Christian lives. And the Bible admonishes us that we need to be concerned. And Daniel was concerned that I want to keep my associations from that which would spoil my testimony, harm my testimony, would cause blemish or defect. We also find that he was excellent in his appearance. It says in the next phrase, but he was well favored. This term well favored means he was good looking inside and outside. Did you look in the mirror this morning? I hope so. Others look at you all the time. What do they see? And we're not saying, oh, wow. Wow. Now, I did that a few years ago. Next week, coming up on my 30th anniversary. Wow. But I can remember in high school seeing this young lady and going, wow. We dated 8 years before. Now we've been married 30 years. And wow. She's still good looking. And, hey, good appearance. And there's some people we look on and our heart just twitterpates. Does your heart twitterpate for somebody? We're not talking about necessarily love. But we're talking about an appearance that draws attention to. And you know, there's a lot of appearance rules here at this school. You know, what you have to wear. And in a few weeks, you are not under those rules. What are you going to wear? Well, that's none of your business. True. But you know what? One of the marks of Daniel's excellence that made an impact for the cause of Christ and the testimony of Christ was he was well favored. And how do you get well favored? Well favored means that you show a sign of respect for others, that you're concerned about others more than yourself. And again, one of the generalizations of this generation is it's a self-centered generation. So I don't care about how others perceive me. I want to dress the way I want to dress. I want to act the way I want to act. It doesn't matter how I am perceived, and I don't care how I'm perceived for others, because what they do is their business. What I do is my business. Daniel could have adopted that philosophy, but he was well favored in his appearance, and that made him stand out for the cause of Christ. And I'm not saying that you have to go home and you have to wear a tuxedo all the time. That's not how to be well favored. But well-favored is in our appearance, in our attention to others, that we go beyond ourselves and our desires, and we give some concerted attention to what others think or what others may be thinking or value. How would we want them to dress before us? Sloppily, unclean, unclothed? How do we approach our appearance for our testimony for the Lord? Also, it says here that he was skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and had the ability to understand them. This is just, he was excellence in aptitude. All these things are signs of the application of knowledge. The inquisitiveness of wanting to know. Some of these words imply the knowers of knowledge, those that wanted to learn. I hope you're wanting to learn here in summer school. I hope it's just not a chore. And if it's a chore, then you can just bide your time until you can get out and get your credits and go on. Or if you want a mark of excellence, you're striving to please God. You're striving to learn more. Why? So that you can make that applications. Cunning, skillful, these are words that describe not only having knowledge, but be able to use that knowledge. And again, I would suggest that one of the things that we're seeing among young people today is, and adults as well, is that we may know the truth, but not have the skill to apply that truth. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that means that we need to be skillful. And that means we need to exercise. Hebrews 5:14 says that strong meat belongeth to those who are full age, that who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you exercising what you're learning at church, in your devotions, in your classroom? Are you putting that into practice? If not, then what good is it doing? It's just a body of knowledge that you can hold on to and say, yes, I'm walking the Christian life. No, you're not. You may be getting that information, but we need to walk. We need to put it into action into our life. Daniel and his followers were excellent in their aptitude. But we find also he was excellent in his attitude. His attitude. In chapter 5, verse 12, and in chapter 6, verse 3, it says, Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was excellent in his spirit. And we would just say that's attitude. He was not rude. He was not arrogant. He didn't say, oh, I'm a captive. I don't want to be here. You can't do this to me. Or you can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to like it. You know, all the different array of attitude. But when you read the book of Daniel, look at the impact he had because he didn't have a bad attitude because of his circumstances. Someone has said attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It paints its color on every situation. What's your attitude like today? What's your attitude about home, about school, about your appearance, about your circumstances, about your teachers, about your class, about your homework? About that test you got to take next hour. What's your attitude like? Wish I could get out of this. Or I want to get by with as little as I can. Daniel had an excellent attitude. And then finally, He had an excellent respect for authority. Respect for authority. We find, and I won't take time to read all the verses, but just look at where he rose to in heights in Chaldean society and then later in Persian society. And if he would have said, "You can't do this to me," and tried to undermine authority. But, you know, he said in says in Daniel 2:37, "Thou, O king, art king of kings, for God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength and glory." He recognized the authority principle. And even though he was living in a captive society, he realized that authority came from God. And he had a respect and obedience for God's authority and for the authority God entrusted over his life. And that proved to, as he demonstrated that, that helped others see that, and he rose to a position of leadership. I'm reminded of Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." How could Daniel stand later in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, in the palace of the Persian kings? He could do that because his ways pleased the Lord. In closing, Philippians 1:10 says that ye may approve. We started with, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That verse is summed up in Philippians 1:10 that says that ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Young people, one day we're going to stand before Christ. And the question is, how are we living in these two schools? Are we taking what we have learned at Bob Jones Academy, at Bob Jones University? And are we anchoring that? Are we resolved and purposeful? Not just because this school teaches it, because it's what the Word of God teaches. And we have have made that the anchor of our life so we can withstand the attacks against our testimony, against our beliefs, against our appetites, against our worship. And then can we demonstrate the application of that in our life so we can have these marks of excellence that Daniel and his followers demonstrated? That was a shining testimony to a world that needed that light. May we have that striving for excellence that Daniel illustrated. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you'll help us to realize that the school of this world is bent on tearing us down in our faith. We pray that you'll help us, even in our studies today, to realize that we need to have a purpose before thee, that as we hear the truth of the Word of God, as we study the truth of the Word of God, that you'll help us to live that truth in every aspect of our lives, that we might demonstrate these marks of excellence that Daniel illustrated in his life.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University Provost, Dr. Dave Fisher. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.